On the 30th of May, 1924, a tall, elegant man in his late 30s, lean but not bony, with thinning, slightly curly hair, and very blue eyes, set off by an equally blue sapphire on his watch chain, rose in the Chamber of Deputies in the Italian Parliament in Rome and delivered an excoriating attack on Mussolini and the newly elected fascist party. His name was Giacomo Matteotti, and he was a socialist from the Po Valley. He had recently brought out a book in which he analyzed Mussolini's speeches, pointing out their inaccuracies and inconsistencies, and had devoted 42 pages to a list of some 2,000 separate assaults committed by Mussolini's fascists between November 1922 and October 1923. Murder, beatings, arson, destruction of the homes and offices of left-wing opponents, and the forcible administration of castor oil. He had come to the chamber, he said, to denounce the voting irregularities of the recent elections, the atmosphere of intimidation in which they had been conducted, and to call for them to be declared invalid. Matteotti spoke for 2 hours, against a background of jeers, threats, bullying, and calls for his removal. He told the chamber that he was preparing a dossier of fascist crimes, which would include evidence of bribes accepted by the fascists from an American oil company, in exchange for the right to control the distribution of petrol in Italy, in which Mussolini's brother, Arnaldo, was complicit, and that he would soon be presenting it to Parliament. He spoke calmly, without hyperbole, but he was implacable and he loved spare, precise facts. In Italy's political world, where daily business had become a matter of obfuscation, deals, lies, and evasions, and the many different opposition parties were weak and fighting among themselves, Matteotti was a rare, honest man. As he left the chamber, he said to a colleague, "Now you may prepare my funeral oration." Mussolini, sitting at the back, had kept largely silent while Matteotti spoke. Afterwards, bursting into the office of the secretary of the fascist party, he shouted, "If you weren't all a pack of cowards, no one would have dared make that speech. People like Matteotti should not be allowed to circulate." At 3:30 on the afternoon of the 10th of June, Matteotti left his home at 40 Via Pisanelli on the banks of the Tiber. It was very hot, and the streets were almost deserted. A black Lancia pulled up alongside him. A small boy playing with friends reported later that he had seen a man hit in the face and carried, struggling, into a car. Matteotti disappeared. A few hours later, Amerigo Domini, leader of a semi-official terror squad with a string of political murders to his name, appeared in Mussolini's office carrying a small piece of blood-stained upholstery from the Lancia. Next day, the 11th of June, Mussolini publicly denied all knowledge of any crime, saying that since Matteotti had recently been given a passport, he had probably gone abroad, a claim vehemently denied by Matteotti's wife, Velia. On the 12th of June, while journalists gathered outside, Mussolini told Parliament that though he still knew nothing, he was beginning to suspect foul play. He spoke of a diabolical outrage. Banks of flowers piled up on the spot where Matteotti had been kidnapped. A cross was painted on the wall in red. In the Piazza del Duomo in Milan, cars, carts, and buses stopped while people knelt to pray. To prevent further criticism and rumor, Mussolini prorogued Parliament and visited the king to tender his resignation. The king refused it. The number of the Lancia was reported to the police by a vigilant caretaker, the car traced and found to be spattered with blood. Matteotti's blood-stained trousers were discovered in Domini's briefcase. He and his associates were arrested. On the 17th of August, a road mender inspecting pipes on the Via Flaminia, 15 miles outside Rome, discovered a jacket. It was identified as belonging to Matteotti. Nearby, in a shallow ditch, was his body, decomposed and bearing clear stab marks. Isabella, Matteotti's mother, identified what remained of her son. A sense of horror and disgust spread around Italy. The Italians had grown accustomed to daily violence, as fascist leaders dispatched their black-shirted squadristi on punitive raids against editors and publishers, union representatives and uncorrupt lawyers and judges, beating those who opposed Mussolini into silence. But this cold-blooded murder was something different. Even previous supporters of the fascists expressed shame and indignation.